Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 17th of September, recording at 9:45 p.m. That's a little bit later than usual. Apologies for that. Now, first a quick look at the highlights. Pretty grim here in stock markets with some substantial declines in Asia and Europe, but the really big hit occurring in the USA, although that also dragged down Brazil and Mexico and Canada. But the US indices are all down more than 4%, 4 on the Dow, 4.71 on the S&P, nearly 5 on the NASDAQ Composite Index. And long-dated government bonds, well, they were firmer, but not as much as one would expect, closing well off the highs on the US 30-year bond. It may be, well, partly because of the dollar's weakness. Dollar was quite weak in here today. Another downward dynamic on the U.S. dollar index. So we've got the euro back up to 143.28. So we've got sterling back above, it was back above 182 for a while. It's close to that right now, 181.75 actually. The flight into precious metals, and man, this was big in terms of gold and silver. Gold up at 864. That's up over $84. Silver is up over a dollar and a half at 1205. And explosive stuff. Crude oil, natural gas also. Rebounding crude right currently at 97 is all linked to the dollar. Although the the gold is about much more. I mean, the gold is about fear of banks and general markdown. And the point I've been making for quite some time is that gold is gold is likely to show relative performance, but volatility is unbelievable in here. So what's going on overall? Well, obviously the bear market has been reasserted, and we have a real crisis here because the credit tightness, you know, those spreads have just widened right out again, and this is just a sort of a seize up of the lending markets. Nobody dares to lend. Doesn't matter what the Fed does to short-term interest rates or how much liquidity people are throwing into the market. How much liquidity the Fed is throwing into the market, the credit markets are frozen here. And also we're getting the marauding short selling taking place. And I've written a piece about this, but I think this needs to be regulated. It needs to be controlled because, you know, when you get these shares being marked down by a third, 50% in a day, and we're talking about big financial companies here, let alone forcing them into receivership, people out of work, savings lost, so on. This is unacceptable, and it also means that we've lost the orderly market facility. So there is going to have to be some strong leadership coming in here quite soon. I think we will probably see that. But the problem is, as I mentioned before, is that in practically no one in their living memory has seen anything like this. I certainly haven't, and you know, I've been in this business since the mid 60s. So this is going beyond what occurred in 73-74, and that was the biggest previous crisis in my career. And hats off to those with very good inside knowledge of the credit markets and the banking industry who saw this coming far more clearly than I certainly did. But why might we get some action here in terms of regulatory action, and what should that actually be? Well, I think One, you need to change the short selling rules. I've talked about this being grossly irresponsible on many, many occasions. It's not that I'm against short selling, but you can't have these marauding cabals coming in and ganging up on one firm after another, creating a domino effect. It's has serious, serious economic implications. So you ban the naked short selling, and I think institutions who agree with me, and there are plenty of institutional investment managers listening, don't allow your shares to be lent for the purpose of short selling. And also, crucially important, the SEC, which has been a total disaster in the last year, really does need to reinstate the uptick rule. I've mentioned that on so many occasions, and there's plenty of copy on it in comment of the day. Okay, the VIX index, that's that volatility index, up at to closed at 36.22 here today. So on its high as Wall Street closed on its lows. Now that has exceeded the VIX spikes that we have seen earlier in the year, with the exception of January. Only January saw a higher spike on VIX, and so there's a very good chance that we will take out that high here tomorrow. Now, in times past, the VIX has pushed up to, as I said, it's 36.22. In times past, many years ago, we had seen it push up to, oh, into the 40s, even briefly above 50. It always works in the way of a spike up and then falls back quite quickly. But it's a measure of climactic activity. But really, you know, when we say what are people panicking about, the complete freeze up of the credit system. Central banks have thrown money at it in recent days, and it hasn't worked. So they've got to come up with a new or different rabbit here, and I'm not quite sure what that will be, except that panics, and this is quite panicky, seldom last for very long. But it's a scary and very difficult situation. There's no doubt about it. The only comfort for people who are holding equity portfolios, and I had said I was going to ride this out in my equity portfolio. I mean, I wish to heaven's sake that I'd chopped it all early on last year. You know, the old basis, if you're going to panic, panic early. But I didn't. I thought I could sort of hedge it enough, and so on, and that the situation would not be as serious as it turned out to be. So the situation is much, much more serious than I had felt it would be. But I've also emphasized all the things that have improved. And I won't run through those all over again, but not least the big decline in crude oil's price. So, where do we go from here? But I was talking about portfolio positions, and the only consolation for those who, like myself, have ridden this down, and we've seen one heck of a lot of profit erosion. But the only consolation is that those positions, if they're anything like the ones I'm holding in my long-term portfolio, I believe are very well underpinned by fundamental value. But it's going to take a long time to get back to levels that we were seeing last year in certainly some of those instances. That's a cautious statement, because Well, I wouldn't rule out any possibility here overall, but sometimes things bounce back a lot more quickly than we had dared hope. But I'm certainly not counting on that, is my point. The consolation and very interesting situation for those who have cash is that we are really creating some outstanding values in here. And but I don't think you need to be in an enormous hurry. I've said that all along. Be cautious. Come in only incrementally if you do so. No need to pay up for anything. But in terms of where markets go, Owen and I have emphasized for years, banks are a lead indicator. And I've said so many times that what's good for banks is usually good for the rest of the market and vice versa. And hey, banks are the problem in here once again. And therefore, until we see the banking crisis become less of a concern, I mean, markets are really going to struggle in here. Again, things are happening so fast and things are beginning to look climactic again. We will see central banks and treasuries, they will be forced into action, emphasize that they're always crisis oriented. Well, here's a crisis, and so we will see developments, and that should bring some stability back into the markets before long. But meanwhile, if you're in these stock markets, try to remain safe. That sounds almost fatuous to say it, but I think the main point I'm making is that I would not be inclined to run in too quickly in terms of bargain hunting or new purchases. Partly because though we could get a good trading rally, and markets will do that. I'm thinking of investment positions now. Investors will want to see some sort of base formation development, I feel, before pushing back in. But there are other people who like to buy on a cost averaging basis. Some big institutions, and there are plenty of them among the Fuller Money subscribers who can't afford to wait until the pattern looks just right, because you need to start earlier. And again, though, you don't need to pay up for anything, and nibble where there's the value. The financial shares, although I way underestimated the extent of the crisis, I've always been pretty wary of those, feeling that the convalescence would be extremely lengthy, and the discouraging fact here is that the convalescence hasn't begun yet, and this is a new wave of problems, greatly exacerbated by the short selling that I was talking about earlier on. Now, what about the U.S. dollar? Among the important calls, certainly, I've been pointing out earlier in the week that. And late last week, that the dollar was pretty overextended and due for a correction, and then we started to get that. We had that first downward dynamic a few days ago, and we've got another one here now. So the dollar looks to me to be in correction mode, and that's hardly surprising. I mean, all right, some people have the dollar has benefited from global deleveraging. The dollar has benefited from short covering. The dollar has benefited from the fact that people feel that there will be a convergence of interest rates. The dollar has benefited from safe haven status, which is, well, I suppose you could say that the trend has been on the side of those people recently, but it strikes me as a bit risible. Not the trend, but that the dollar is really a safe haven. But at any rate, minimum, the dollar as I've been saying this week, was due for a pullback in consolidation. Now, gold and silver have really put a drawn a line on their charts for probably very significant lows. Again, given all the volatility, if we were to see the dollar, for whatever reason, retesting its recent highs, or let alone moving back above those levels, I certainly wouldn't be surprised to see the precious metals come down and retest. But I have, I think, maintained throughout that the gold was in a buying range below the $800 level, and again, we've seen the dynamic we've seen is most impressive. We didn't get platinum leading, and actually that threw me off pace yesterday, because platinum was quite weak, fell over $100 yesterday, as you may recall. And it has so often been a lead indicator, but it has not led this time. It has been gold and silver, and I think that's for monetary reasons, although platinum is also a monetary metal. But the things that lead so often, I guess it just goes to show they don't always always lead. But if you hold gold, hang on to it. Gold shares should be able to make a comeback, because they really have been absolutely hammered, hammered down. But so many sectors of the stock market have been absolutely hammered down. Trading opportunities in here, as is always the case in markets that are way way overextended, and I would be putting on some trading positions, or would have had more trading positions right now had I not been been going away. I'm actually, tomorrow's my last day in the office this week, so I'm not here on Friday and I'm not here next week, but Owen is more than ready to carry the comment and the audio during that period when I'm away. And I'm also in touch. If this was just my own holiday and my wife's, I would certainly think about canceling it under the circumstances. But if you forgive me for not doing so, it's because a lot of family is coming from around the world. This has been planned for better part of a year for a big big sort of family confab, and family's so important. I don't get to see these people all that often, not particularly not in a group. Okay, enough on that. What about, I've talked about the dollar. I do still feel that the dollar is in retreat mode after that overextended rally. The long-dated government bonds are on absolute crisis ratings here now, or crisis yields, I should say. When stock markets get that next bounce, I would expect them to come down, the bond prices and the yields to push up somewhat. Commodities, while the dollar's in retreat, so many of those commodity trends are really quite overextended. It would hardly be surprising to see a fairly good bounce. Among energy contracts, natural gas is the one that's been hit hardest by far. And industrial metals, not doing anything in here yet. That's due to the global fears, and perhaps that's a factor weighing on platinum. But it seems a bit simplistic. People might be concluding for a few days at any rate that, well, platinum catalytic converters, maybe not going to be that much demand for that. But again, as I've said before, it's a monetary metal and it's in scarce supply. What else? Grains and beans. Well, I think the fundamental story is quite bullish, but when you get a day like yesterday, heavy deleveraging, they're quite quite weak. That global deleveraging, I think we need to see more than one strong day in commodities to assume that the global deleveraging process is over. But commodities were the last big splurge on the leveraging up, and so they've been hit particularly hard here recently. Well, they're certainly entitled to a technical rally, as I've already mentioned. As far as other forms of global deleveraging, I would not assume that that process is over at this stage. And I think that's pretty much it. I'll get on and try to complete comment as soon as I can, but I want to post some charts in addition to what I've written. It's been a busy day, as you can imagine. So, meanwhile, all the very best to all of you once again.